Welcome back, MGTOW men. It's Sermon Sunday. I'm a bit tired right now, guys. I'm a little worn out, but things are going fast. That's all right, and I hope things slow down, and I'm doing my best to get things to that point, but it's not always possible. So today, I hope you guys can slow down through this message and that it finds you and it carries you through the week. And today's MGTOW story, Sunday sermon, comes from the book of Hosea in the Old Testament, and it's one that I did not plan on thinking about or looking at when I first started these sermons. And before I get into it, I want to preface my video with the fact that, once again, guys, these videos, they're for anybody. They're for everyone. And they aren't a full exegesis, okay? I work full-time right now, and I'm going to graduate school, and I try to pump out at least 5 a week. And I can't always go fully in-depth, but the best I can do for you guys is to apply my understanding of the passages and my understanding of MGTOW and where you guys are at and how you're feeling in your life, and hope to combine the two in the best way possible in order that you guys can glean something from what is spoken about, all right? And furthermore, this story is about Hosea and his wife, Gomer. I don't know if a lot of you guys are familiar with it, but it's also about using that relationship as a representation of the whoredom of Israel at the time and how God essentially chose Israel as his bride, and they have gone the way of the wayward adulterer, leaving God for the ways of other nations. And this book is often viewed as an allegory, Hosea serving as a representation of God, his mouthpiece, while Gomer acts as Israel. And Gomer, the name means completion or filling up of the measure of idolatry or rightness of consummate wickedness. And God commands Hosea to warn Israel of the impending doom that they will bring on themselves if it doesn't turn from its sin and waywardness, and it's going to die. But redemption is personified when Hosea redeems his promiscuous wife by buying her back as a slave would be purchased through the bartering of 15 shekels of silver and 430 pounds of barley. Let that resonate, guys. His own wife, he has to turn around and buy as a slave, okay? And with this background, understand the purpose of this book and the fact that I'm going to use it for the sake of MGTOW in front of me right now. I won't read much of it, but you guys can quickly scan through it in your own time. It's not very long, so let's start in the first chapter. Okay. When the Lord began to speak through Hosea, the Lord said to him, "Go marry a promiscuous woman and have children with her." Sounds crazy. "For like an adulterous wife, this land is guilty of unfaithfulness to the Lord." So he married daughter of Diblaim, and she conceived and bore him a son. She would go on to have 3 kids for Hosea, ordered to be had through a woman that couldn't be turned into a housewife. It sounds so deplorable, so dead end, ridden. Okay? That wouldn't be viewed as a reputable and honorable thing to do. And we move on to chapter 3, titled Hosea's Reconciliation with His Wife. It reads, "The Lord said to me, 'Go show your love to your wife again, though she is loved by another man and is an adulteress. Love her as the Lord loves the Israelites, though they turn to other gods and love the sacred raisin cakes.' So I bought her for 15 shekels of silver and about a homer and a lethic of barley. Then I told her, 'You are to live with me many days. You must not be a prostitute or be intimate with any man, and I will behave the same toward you. For the Israelites will live many days without a king or prince, without sacrifice or sacred stones, without ephod or household gods. Afterward, the Israelites will return and seek the Lord their God and David their king. They will come trembling to the Lord and to his blessings in his last days." From this, guys, there are 3 main points that I want to make today, and points that are not often made, especially one of them by the churches around right now in the gynocentric tradcon representation of the Bible. The first one is, a woman is led by a man's direction and morality, regardless if it's the way society frames it. A man can put an end to it either by opting out or putting his foot down, and the most important thing is that he acts respectably and righteous himself. That is where it starts. And the second thing is, a wayward woman changes us men, okay? Hosea can relate to us red pill men. He can see the effects of the promiscuous woman. And that's the only way that the power of his words could be delivered. He didn't start to speak until he married this woman and had children with her. That's when his speaking began. And for many of us, MGTOW, and especially those that speak publicly and to others that speak publicly in conversation, none of this would happen if we didn't have our Gomers in our lives. So many of us have the Gomers in our past that were in our lives and created the mindset and messages that we deliver today. And it's necessary to create a red pill prophet. And number 3 is, how the church interprets the story is often not completely representative of the true message. It's most often presented from the angle of gynocentrism, and the promiscuous woman is not the one that's going to be called out in this passage. Not that it should solely be, as the main focus is on the redemptive aspect of this book, but it's another example of how pastors know that they will lose people and that the church is afraid to laying down the teachings of Paul and Peter about women, and especially wayward women within the church. It's afraid to do that. And it's backwards, and it's caused backwardness, okay? And the first one, as I touched on, a woman's waywardness or moral path is something that she will often choose. And men, you have the power to even perpetuate it. You have the power to stop it. Not that you need to. You don't need to be responsible for every person, and that's a lie that liberalism and gynocentrism has said, is that men need to be responsible for everything and they need to be sacrificial. This is not what I'm trying to say here. But what I'm getting at is, okay, as Joseph says, for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. The woman was never destined and ordered to be the moral leader in a relationship. She has been fabricated. This has been fabricated, and her beliefs have been fabricated out of the teachings of feminism in a constant pursuit of affirmative action and making every responsibility equitable. And the story really emphasizes the power that a man has in leading a woman, and that is forfeited of us by today. And not that I'm interested in leading a woman or anything, or being that guy within a marriage that, you know, directs her at every step. Okay, this is not what I'm getting at here. I'm saying that the power is a man has a moral compass within him that is more finely tuned. You can let it become untuned and full of disarray, but he has that innately within him, okay? And not all women will be that same way, okay? Men and women are wired very differently. We always have the power to use the eject button and be playing on our own home court. We're not visitors. It's not a road game, although it's represented like that. And we control the environment and we hold the leash, reeling Gomer back in regardless of what society says about men and their lack of moral standards. And a woman is easily swayed. She is more easily taken by the interests of the world. The Bible preaches this. Peter talks about this. It's not just Paul. He says, husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so nothing will hinder your prayers. It's not all on Gomer here, obviously. Hosea likely fell short in some areas, okay? But this is not a love story. This is not a love story about Hosea saved the woman and brought her back and forgave her and had all this kind of grace poured out upon her, which is the gynocentric view of this. No, okay? Don't let the lies of certain people say that it also fell on Hosea or solely fell on him. As many message boards have, I've read about this before. And the next thing is the pain of divorce in a bad relationship. Hosea is us MGTOW men. You can't change a person as powerfully as the change that is created when they live through something, okay, and the experience. In a book written analyzing the minor prophets, there's an author, and he recognizes and illustrates how the agony produced this red pillness. And so this view that would make a vessel that God used to preach against an entire nation was created through a prostitute, through an adulteress, just as you guys have been. And by feeling this, by feeling what he went through, a prophet is created, and a prophet that is worthy of delivering such a message. And this is what the guy said. Out of his own heart's agony, Hosea learned the nature of the sin of his people. They were playing the harlot, okay? She was the harlot, spending God's gifts in lewd traffic with other lovers. And out of that agony, he has learned how God suffers over the sin of his people, okay? Because of his undying love. And Hosea, right here, okay, was created through the fires of this harlot, as many of us MGTOW men have been. Whether you make videos or not, whether you post comments or not, whether you're just listening, you've been produced by something, okay? Hosea, this guy, a couple thousand years ago, he was produced by that same thing. Men operate on the same wavelength than we have for over thousands of years. And I'm not a prophet. I'm nothing like that. I'm just a 24-year-old dude, but I can say that without the experiences that I had, much that reflected Hosea's here, I know that I was woken up and made capable of speaking. And before I dated and before I ventured down that rabbit hole, I viewed things as rosy. I viewed things in a linear way. I believed that as long as I did this or that, and as long as I acted this way and expressed control here and worked hard enough and stayed in shape and satisfied her and proved that she should stay, then she would. And this is not guaranteed. You are often operating in a linear perception of relationships, which is something that men operate under. Men operate in a linear fashion with their thinking, and it doesn't work like this. And I look back on the two girls that I've dated and I regret so many things, but I'm so thankful for so many things because I would not see the things that I see now. And they were both Gomers, and I acted like I was going to fix that and that I would be a rescuer of their ways, okay? Bringing them back to their ways as obedient wives. And first of all, this is one of the first signs of being a nice guy, the guy that wants to be there to fix her. You can't fix somebody. They have to be willing to commit. And many girlfriends around the world in relationships today, they're not. They're not gonna. And that's the mistake I made. That was the misconception that I believed and I bought into. And I should have listened to Tupac. And this is one of the most red pill songs ever. An excerpt from it. I gotta blame my attraction, but you became a distraction, a threat to my paper stacking. I thought you changed, but now I know. Can't turn a hoe into a housewife, baby. And there you go. So Tupac took some lumps, man. Hosea took some lumps. He had children with this woman, Gomer, and he was made into a prophet through her own licentiousness, okay? The thing that you need to take away about this is God ordered this. He preordained it. God knew the power that this would have on a man, and there's no field that's more powerful in a red pill man than the impact of that wayward woman in his life. So if that's happened to you and you've been scarred, be thankful for it too. Okay, be thankful for it because the power of it has been there for thousands of years. And I'm no longer the same person that I am after dating them. And I don't see the world the same. Okay, and I know I saw the world differently before. And I was just speaking to a friend the other day through text, and he mentioned how his brother's 14 and he's been bringing up red pill stuff to him. And, you know, his brother still wants to have kids and a family, and that's normal. And he's being exposed to the red pill through his brother, you know, right now. But, you know, obviously things can't really change yet. He's 14. The burns and the scars of relationship with the woman of the world today make you carved out of molten hot lava. It will refine you like glasses after be putting through the heat. He was not fit to be a prophet until he went through it. Okay, he was produced into something new. And I was 14. I remember going through a stage when I wanted to have 4 kids, be a father, imagining at the end of my, you know, my patience and my perseverance for that right woman, it would be rewarded. And, you know, you're not probably. Hosea was not awarded in any way, okay? He had to deal with a prostitute, and neither will you and I. So the thing that is also confused is relationships don't create reciprocation. And in a broken world, and in one that follows eye for an eye ways of thinking and values vengeance, you're not going to be guaranteed that it's reciprocated. So Hosea was considered a prophet, obviously righteous and worthy enough to be a vessel in which God chose to speak through him, hoping to reach an entire people, an entire nation. But that is not recognized by the woman. The woman doesn't care here. That is not recognized by Gomer, okay? You'd think she would have respect for that, but she doesn't. She has respect for her own desires. And many men operate like this as well. They want to hold themselves to that high standard, but the woman doesn't care. And it is less common, you know, in terms of relationships for men. Men will be more fixated on this notion of vengeance and eye for an eye living when it comes to brotherly situations and work situations and power struggles, because that's where our value comes in within society. Women inherently are valued in relationships and childbearing, and thus they're encouraged to act in vengeance in those areas. And the Beyonce Lemonade album and Taylor Swift's Bad Blood Lies are a perfect example of this. And women are praised for being vengeful because it's an illusion of empowerment and freedom. And the idea of being vengeful is just an illusion. It's not actually productive or positive, but it's a lie rooted in the flesh, something that Gomer would likely be acting like. And I bring this up to you, men, you know, just because you are righteous and you act righteous like Hosea and you aim to lead her in your own righteousness, she's not guaranteed to respond to how you act and want to follow. Okay, it doesn't mean that she's going to follow you. She may lead a wayward and sinful ridden life. It doesn't protect you from this. Hosea may have been a man of notoriety within Israel, not viewed as a deranged prophet. But if she is not grounded and she has sold herself out, then you're not going to be able to save her from that path. I don't care who you are. And think about the shame that you're going to feel in that moment. This is a sub point here. You have to redeem her as a slave. Imagine that shame that was in Hosea's heart. Imagine that you're in a notable position in society, wherever you're in community, and a man called to be a prophet, viewed amongst all of Israel, is a man intending to be godly, speaking out as a prophet against people, and he's with a wayward, adulterous wife. She is known throughout the cities as a harlot, and that's who Hosea, this prophet, is claimed to be. He loses all of his efficacy, all of his ethos. It's gone. The respect is gone. The meaning of your words is gone. They're gone, okay? And imagine that shame. You can control your own shame as a single man, but you can't control the shame of the association that you have with a person, with a woman, with an adulterous woman in a marriage or relationship, and that could destroy you. And lastly, I've touched on this. How is this story presented in the church? It's never in a red pill lens. And stories like Samson and Delilah, Potiphar's wife, and even those like Hosea and Gomer, they're rarely looked at through this angle of how a red pill MGTOW man would look at things. There are so many reasons for this, and they range from the infection of feminism into churches across the world today, when more and more women are leading congregations and taking over as pastors, or they can range to pastors and church leaders that fear losing members, and thus fear losing ties to people that defect from a particular church, because a story like Hosea and Gomer doesn't mention the dangers of this woman or emphasize the pain and destruction that a promiscuous woman can cause. And this can't be taken lightly. For God to use a single woman, a wife, to represent an entire nation, there must be power and destruction behind this promiscuous woman. It's not something that can be taken lightly or looked at as a joke. And it's supposed to replicate the pain of an entire nation turning from the nation that God intended it for it to be. And this one woman was supposed to replicate the pain for Hosea. That's it, okay? Don't gloss over this. Sure, the main focus of the story is redemption, but I've never heard the church look at the story of Hosea and Gomer from this angle. No, I haven't. I haven't heard it look at the story from the angle of the promiscuous woman. What does this woman say about the world? How can we avoid this? Calling her out. I haven't heard Delilah condemned in Samson and Delilah. She's just written off as another prostitute. I've only heard Samson condemned. And I'm sure that there are some people that view me as a trad con or someone that actually follows the gynocracy and isn't a true red pill, okay? That's fine if you do, okay? I'll do as I want. That's the beauty of MGTOW. You will do as you want. But the one thing that I want you guys to understand about why I use these passages from the Bible is because I'm sick and tired of churches and fake Christianity bowing below the demands and wishes of gynocentrism and treating women like the gold standard for everything in society, because it's not true. It's a lie, and it's causing so many problems. We are both accountable, men and women, and I feel as if the only message that is being delivered is that men should be condemned and all women in churches and in relationships are infallible. It's time for the script to be flipped. In an article on the web titled, "So Your Christian Wife Cheated on You?" the writer states, "Almost all the stuff I found was about a guy cheating, not the woman cheating." And this is despite the fact that female marital infidelity is a growing trend within the Christian community, one that the church refuses to deal with and likes to paper over. In our society, women are almost as likely to cheat on their spouses as men, but there's next to nothing out there to help a Christian man to deal with that. Okay? I'm sorry about the rant. I had to. I was just fired up all this week, wanting to get this on my chest. And that is the root of so many of our arguments and so many things that we state as MGTOW men right there, and I just had to say it. And so, in conclusion, we're not glossing over this, guys. We're calling it for what it is because it's time to remember that the message was entrusted to us men and that we draw the line in the sand. Sure, forgive. I'm all for forgiving, but we're not Hosea. We're not called to reconcile with our wayward wives. That's not our unique and specific command to our lives. Instead, life is so short and we can't forget. We can forgive, but we can't forget these things. And redemption's coming, but we are not in charge of making that redemption happen. All we can do is redeem our lives, redeem our time, redeem our minds, redeem ourselves, because it's been taken by Gomer for far too long. So men, the powers of the harlot are the same today as when they were during the time when people were named Gomer. Have things changed? Not in the slightest. Why should they change today? They shouldn't. So should you change your mind? No, because once again, this Sunday sermon proves that there is nothing new under the sun, but the sunrise is coming up along with the hoodie, and that sun is exposing what needs to be exposed in the light. It's too dark out right now. Daylight savings time, man. The sun is never up. Make the sun up this week. Make it rise. Make it rise with the hoodies. Hoodies are up, man. Hoodie is out. Hope you enjoyed the sermon today.